Blog Talk Radio.
That's what we're experiencing right now, this week, next week, and the week before.
Well, you know what fascinated me, and I, you know, it's been, yeah, we've talked about this a number of times, George, but it almost seems like everything from now to then is virtually irrelevant. It's like I was watching the, I was trying to pay some attention to this GOP debate, you know, and stuff, and it's so foolish. The whole thing is so stupid. I realized that the entire world, as we know it, the way things are going, is just so insane. Yeah, I mean, watching these 10 or 12 or how many umpteen idiots, Republican idiots, standing there and trying to make sense out of what's happening. None of them make any sense. None of them know what the fuck they're talking about. And the amazing thing is not one of them, you know, has any clue as to this kind of information. Or if they do, they're definitely not saying it. But if they did, then none of them would be running, and none of them would even be attempting to run until after the October 28th to see if any of this stuff really is going to happen. Yeah. But the irrelevance, I mean, if it does happen, it seems like it is all happening, but the total political irrelevance is so glaring, you know, that it's almost as though, you know, looking at this stuff, looking at mainstream television, looking at the news, it just is so irrelevant to what's happening. You know, I mean, everybody's a complete and utter idiot. So it's like it's not that I'm becoming skeptical or cynical. It's just that it doesn't make any difference, you know what I mean, anymore. And whoever runs, I mean, is, you know, just, you know, all they're doing is just running around trying to make some money. That's the way I see it. You know,
well,
and
they've been doing that for years. But, Leo, understand that, you know, the illusion has been broken. I mean, people are seeing it for what it's worth, and even the politicians.
I think so, yeah.
It's faltering. There's no way you can repair it. You know, this is the end. This is the fall of it.
Yeah. No, I believe you, George. I really
even
think
saying that, you know, you can go even deeper with just our government, our system. It's crazy, but what's happened is the illusion has been lifted, and we see it for what it is. You know, right now, with the economy the way it is,
the truth
of the matter is, which we've talked about, which has been known for a number of years, that money that we trade is worthless, and it's just a fictional number in a ledger book. And this idea of income tax basically is to the wooden worlders. I mean, people don't realize that their income taxes doesn't go.
Yeah, the only issue, and I believe the only thing that makes money real is the enforcement of the IRS, the enforcement of these jokers. Even to the extent of the asshole who decides to evict you. You know what I mean? It's like these people are living the illusion, okay? Yeah, they're making some money. They're just doing their jobs, whatever the hell they're doing. But the thing is that no matter what you do between now and the end and October, it's just crazy. I don't know. It's just crazy, crazy. If anybody listening tonight has actually listened to that video or has followed our conversations over the years, the idea of hanging on to anything, all right, is almost becoming absurd. All right, I mean, we're at a point where our government's failed. Our financial system is failing. You know, everything is failing. And as far as I'm concerned, and this is me personally, there's only two things that are valuable beyond any kind of monetary, you know, worth, okay? And that is love, all right, and friendship. And those two things are of the supreme value, you know, to anybody. And everything after that is just bogus bullshit, you know what I mean?
Leo, what this movie brought out is that we are all basically part of the same one, the oneness or the unity.
Right.
And that the unity is what we return to. But,
yeah.
You know, who's to blame, you know, for people now who are caught in the middle of it? I'm talking about people, you know, let's say in the legal world. They're just following, you know, what they're supposed to do. And if they don't do that, you know, they don't get a paycheck at the end of the month. And, you know, it goes beyond, you know, the loyalty. The loyalty is to the dollar, but they need that dollar because that's the way they live and that's the way, that's what they need. So, you know, this idea of money, it's going to be replaced, there's no doubt about it. But what's happening is you're going to have the fall before you can build it up again. But it's just happening so quick on us.
But I believe, George, and this is what I believe, is that the concept of unity consciousness, all right, is what will save humanity. But the concept of love, being, you know, loving the person you're with, loving the people that you're with, loving whatever, loving your existence, all right, loving the divinity. These things are all. This is critical. And appreciating that concept, and then at the same time, friendships are so valuable, not in what they not so much in the sense of the monetary giving, but in the emotional and the spiritual element of these things. You know, these are priceless. You know what I'm saying? They're priceless. They can't really put a value on them. But yet, as we merge toward the end times, there's only a couple of things that will keep us sane and keep us alive, maybe. And that is your divine, your love for the divine, and your love for those around you, the love for humanity. Or the love for friendship and brotherhood and those things, and those aspects are the quintessential element of enlightenment for the human race. I think anything after that is bullshit. You know what I mean? Everything after that, but those things are what's going to carry us through, George. That's humanity through, and that's it. That's the concern. And a love for each other, and you know, individually, you know, the people you love, and family and friends and so on, and the love for God, the love for the universe, the love for the hope and the aspirations that you have to strive further beyond this third dimensional existence, you know. Because we're all going to die, George, sooner or later.
Well, yeah, Leo, but understand that we all create our own illusion, our own reality.
Yeah.
You attract your consciousness. So,
right.
You know, let's go back here, my friend. Understand that we are sentinel beings having a human experience. We're spirits among anything else. So understand that we are doing this. Nobody else is doing it on us.
That's right. That's
it's
right.
It's for us
so,
to experience it. But understand who's in control. You're in control.
Yeah. No, I think of all the times, all the anger that I've built up over the years toward things, and I'm coming to a point where I see that it created what I am. All right, whatever that is, but. It's time now to let it go, you know. I want to let it go. I can't stop but tell people. I want to keep saying and bringing things up to people and educating and showing people these different things. But at the same time, I'm at a point where I don't feel the crushing pressure and negativity that I felt before. I just feel, here it is, you know, this is what it is. See it for what it is and grow from there, you know, go on from there. And that's, I mean, we have to understand what it is before we can understand how to.
No, I wouldn't say that at all. You know,
how do you if you don't know what it is that's in front of you, how do you rise above it? How do you understand?
How do you rise above it? Why do you have to rise above it?
Well, you can't go through it. It's an impasse. You know.
Says who?
Says me.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
I can't. There are brick walls that I just can't go through. I have to go around or over. And,
this is.
I'm tired of hitting my head against them. You know.
Yeah, but you know, you take yourself for granted. You really do. I mean, everything is expressed in us, the world around us, and we are an expression of that. we hold this whole world as we see it together. See, what we're doing is we're communicating, you and I. But you see, there's a higher source of us, both of us, that actually works out the details on how we're going to communicate with one another, how we're going to relate reality from your perspective and from my perspective. See, what you have is like an intermediate expressing or explaining what his thoughts are and what your thoughts are and what thoughts you have in common. So, you know, what you have an interpreter, you have an intermediate within your higher self that communicates to the outside world. Now, I'm saying this is active when you go into a room and you feel the frequencies, vibrations, thoughts, feelings. And it is the communication that we do that goes beyond audio sound. This is a direct connection, just like the heart or the emotional body is in touch with the outside world at all times, where the mind, the intellect, is not. The intellect only knows what the body tells it. So,
well, we feel this all the time, George. I mean, I don't know how many times, I mean, countless times in my life where I've said something or done something, and then it's over with, and then all of a sudden I feel the surge of emotion or the surge of remorse or the surge of righteousness or whatever it may be, but there's an after effect to every thought, you know, that you have or every action that you take, and I've adjusted to that, I've accepted that fact, but nevertheless it's still there. It's like for instance, after the show tonight, you and I will probably reflect on what we've said and what the show was. And what we did, and maybe correct ourselves or wonder what we were thinking, or we should have said something better or done something better. But it's like each and every thought that we have generates another of some sort, and that action then generates some other reaction in someone. And you can feel that telepathically, you can feel it from someone. You can sense it, you know, whatever it is. I mean, even to the sense of plucking a flower or stepping on a plant, you know, if you want to be that sensitive to something. You know that something felt pain or something felt pleasure or something felt something that was related to you. And,
Let's jump this up a bit and say yes. Dealing with living things that they have an energy field around them that you're picking up, that you're reading.
That's right.
Now, look, understand that energy around a person takes a certain form. And we talked about the Merkabah.
Right.
There's a Merkabah. Every living thing has its own energy power. And it's in the form of a Merkabah.
Well, okay.
Let me... Yeah.
I question that. I tried to kill a very large housefly in the house tonight, and I tried to kill it. And I attempted to kill it, and you know what? Whether it died or not, I tried to kill it several times, and it kept escaping. And each time that it I could sense that. Ha ha ha! You know, I got you.
You can communicate with it.
Got you. You know what I mean? It was like, it was another energy. No matter how minute it was, although the damn thing was pretty big. I did miss it, and to this moment, I still don't know where it is in the house. It escaped my sight, but you know, just by whacking at that thing to try to kill it because it was so large and so what's that?
You know, the poor fly. I mean, geez,
yeah,
the
poor
all he wants
fly,
to do is
a
fly
and
in the garbage. That's all. He doesn't mean
anything. Yeah, I mean, you know, but what I'm trying to say is as minute as that is. Right, yeah. Well, someone will say, yeah, well, he has the right to live. But you know, flies are nasty. And they bring disease and they bring all kinds of things. You know what I mean? So
all
it's
right.
Like you really want to kill them if you can. And you know, we human beings invest billions of dollars every year on fly killing things. Not to mention, I can't even imagine how much energy we expend trying to swat the damn things. You know.
All right, let's get a little bit serious here. And I'd like to, if I can. You know, if you want to use this fly, that's good because it has an energy field around it.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about the change that we've been going through the last couple of years, is that there's a rise in the frequency of the energy around us. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, okay. Now, we've talked about the Merkaba. And understand the Merkaba, right now it is restricted, I should say. We are restricted to the speed of light. And understanding the Merkaba, my Merkaba, your Merkaba, it's really two tetrahedrons, one on it facing up and one facing down. And what you have is these tetrahedrons rotate in the opposite direction of one another. And they take this form, but the ratio that they rotate, the male tetrahedron, which faces the north, it is rotating at a rate of about 34 revolutions per second or per minute or however you want to weigh that, compared
34.
To male tetrahedron.
34 dribblers a minute?
Excuse me? No, I know.
Well, how did you...
A millisecond. Well, it rotates.
34 what? A second?
It's 34 revolutions.
I did 34 dribblers a minute. I couldn't figure that one out. All right. That's the first time I heard that.
4 to 21. You know, the female, the lower one, rotates in the opposite direction at 21 turns.
What are you talking about?
All right. So, well, all right. What I'm saying here is because
what are we talking about here?
It's like a large top. You spin a top, and the top spins.
Okay.
Right. What you have is that you have one top, the top of the star turning one way, and the bottom is turning the other way. And it holds itself by like a gyroscope would. But my point is here is that it is just this energy field that we have around. And these are just some of the electrical or the frequency understandings behind it. And
okay.
The reason why I bring this up is, you know, I'm taking a look right now at what's happening to our Earth. Our Earth is shifting. The magnetic points are shifting. And if you take a look at the movement of the new North Pole, it is so many miles away from the original point that it was 200 years ago, and you could do the same thing with the South Pole, and the South Pole is not in alignment with the North Pole. It's off by 1,800 miles.
Well,
so, you know, there's a difference, I think, the pole itself and the Earth. And it's like a wobble, but it's more of a rotation.
Well, let's hold on to that thought for 1 second and go further, because in that video that we saw, and of course I want to refer everybody to last night's program, because I played this video called the Quickening, and the audio portion, of course, and it explains what we're talking about tonight. But what they stated is that the alignment now, all right, that's coming, okay, on September 26th, is supposed to cause some major freaking earthquake again, some massive seismic happening, all right, and that that's only a month or so away, but the thing that they were talking about is in this time frame between now and October 28th, all right. Not only is the Earth supposed to stop, and the Earth and go through 3 days of no sun, all right, but it's supposed to turn around, all right, and start spinning in the opposite direction. So it's like this is all supposed to happen between now and the October 28th, and it freaks me out, George, thinking that this could possibly happen within the next 2 months. You know, and we're not really seeing any sign of it right here. But they said something else which was fascinating, is that some people will not experience this, all right? It will not affect them in the same way, because those are the people that are ready for it, all right, as opposed to the people who are not ready for it. And I was just thinking, like you, George, you're ready for it. I'm ready for it. We're all, I mean, everybody, you know, the people who presented that video, they're ready for it. And millions of other people around the planet are ready for whatever it is that's supposed to happen, all right? And, but what the way that it ended is that you really can't do anything about it. There's nothing you can really do about it other than just accept it that it's the divine will of nature, of God, that this is going to happen.
Well, let's talk about that divine will. You know, you can also mention, too, that the return of Christ is supposedly in this time, too. But it's a return of consciousness.
The way that they stated the return of Christ to be is actually unity consciousness, which is the arrival of the Christhood of you know, the world.
That's the period we're going through right now. And
which explains that 1,000 years of peace, you know, and prosperity, peace and whatever, but after the tribulation. And, you know, is Christ coming or not? Yeah, but he's not coming, or whether he even came at all. The concept of Christ has been here, and it's been here for you know, more than 2,000 years. It's been, you know, it's been in so many different religions, the concept of our of humanity rising to an enlightened state of being, where we're no longer chained to the physical reality. I mean, that's been around for, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of years, not just 2,000.
Leo, you know, we'll jump on the perception of the equinox. We've talked about this, that
right.
Every 26,000 years, we go from light to dark, or we return, you know, to the original point where we started out, less 1 degree. We go through this cycle, and right now we're at the start of, or going to the peak of our return to light, our lightness. And now is the time for ascension, or we're able to reach our zenith. Are our point of energy, of power, and
right.
It's a completion of consciousness. You know, making it simple. October the 28th is finally putting to rest everything that has been put out there, and any quest that was put out there to complete, and the idea of going to space, but the idea of having a family of being able to live civil among other people. Understand that these all took time for us to adapt to understand. But we are not held to any special way, so we can do what we want. And this includes leaving this three-dimensional reality because it is only an experience. So, you know, we have the choice right now, either to stay and continue. Some people like it, you know, like this life. Or, you know, it's like some people like the wilderness. You know, Daniel Boone liked it. So what the hell? You know, if you want to stay here and enjoy yourself, go right ahead. But there are other realities besides physical reality.
The one thing that they did say in their video, which I thought was profound, was that as we got closer and closer to the chaos, you know, and as we as we enter this period now that we're in and get through it, they said that the shifting of reality here. And that we have to submit to the divine wisdom, you know, the liberation, but in a unity of consciousness. But the fascinating thing that they mentioned was that we have to, the way to stay sane, the way to stay rooted, the way to stay connected, all right, to any semblance of sanity is to return to nature. And even to a glass of water, they said, to look at nature, to appreciate nature, the trees, the flowers, the woods, the grass, to understand and appreciate what it is, this rejuvenation, this revival is continually happening in nature. And it's like, it's no different than what we are, because we are 90% water, okay?
So Leo? That's my point. And then what? So?
No, but what's happening, what we are, is part of nature. And as nature is going through these changes, then we too are going through these changes. And if nature... If the heartbeat of the Mother Earth has gone from 7.8 to 13 within the last few years and is now around 13 beats, we too have doubled in our energy. And now looking at the fact that every 18 days, according to Mayan calendar, every 18 days is equal to 1 year, all right? As of March 9th, every 18 days is equal to a year. An experience, so that, you know, it's phenomenal, you know, how fast we are speeding up.
Right, Leo, you're right, but understand that other things have to come together, too. For years, we've talked about the Hopi prophecies and some of the understandings about, you know, the end times and what, you know, how it would show itself.
Yeah.
The movie itself talks about the... things that are happening in our solar system. We have three comets that are heading our way, and these have been identified by NASA and so forth. And some people have related them to the Nibiru. You know, the Anunnaki, Zechariah Sitchin's work with the Earth Chronicles. And sure enough, we do have some bodies coming into our neck of the woods.
Right. They connected them to the Hopi tradition as well.
Right, that's right. You know, for years I talked about the purifier, and not really knowing where the purifier was coming from, but I knew, you know, that it was going to change things. Now, the movie brings this out, and it puts it into focus and understanding of what the prophecy is, but also with the reality that we're experiencing right now. This is happening right now. Three comets that are heading our way. And the one is called Honda, one is called Levy, and one is Linen.
We talked about
this before.
Oh, yeah. No, it's true. And those are supposed to line on the 27th or 26th of September. Those are supposed to all align with the Earth and the Sun. Okay.
That's right. Right. But let me break the sequences down so people have an understanding what's happening. Actually, you have one comet. Honda is coming from the south and it's going southerly. Now, it's coming from the south, going northerly. Now, it will cross the elliptic path as it gets closer to the Earth, or closer to us in the solar system, with the Earth and the Sun. The second one is Levy, which is coming from the north and is coming down into our path. And the third one is Leni, which the Hopis identify as the blue Kachina, the blue star Kachina,
right,
which would herald the purifier to follow it. Now, what they found with this asteroid, that there is something following it it's a large object that's pulling gravity, or things are gravitating, it's changing the gravitation in its path. And they believe it's a dark star. And they call that the red star, or the red Kachina, which is the purifier. And this is the one that's been causing havoc. Now, as this comet comes into our solar system, it crosses the path of the alignment with the Earth and with the Sun. And the first time the first alignment with the Earth and the Sun was February of 2010, February 23rd, and that's when we had the massive earthquake in Chile. September the 4th, 2010,
where it hit
New Zealand.
The earthquake in Haiti was about that time, too.
Yes, well, I'm not sure on which one it was or what date it was, but I'm just showing you the relevance of the paths that this comet here, when it comes into alignment with the Earth and with the Sun.
The next time it
crossed its path was
3/11 on the Earth side of the Sun.
Yeah.
Right? That it's coming around the opposite way of the Sun.
That's right. That's right. And that was 3/11 this year, which was Japan.
Right, March. March 9th. March 11th, rather.
Right. Now, that is what's happened when the alignment of these set of comets in the area, how they're affecting us. But basically, the blue star Kachina. What we have to watch out for is on September the 26th, Ellen will come in between the Earth, the Sun, Mercury, and Venus. So we will definitely feel some kind of magnetic dire or earthquake activity then. And they also, some of the legend goes that during this time, that what happens is that the Earth will stop, and for 3 days it won't move, and then it will start up again.
This
has happened many a times, but expect this to happen before now in November, I believe, of this year. Yes.
Right. But the sun will stop shining.
The Earth will actually stop, Leo.
Right.
Yeah. But
to me, I mean, it's just phenomenal, but it's due to that magnetic pull of all of these planets and comets, that are turning it around, stopping it and turning it back around. But it's like, what to expect. It's amazing that we can sit here and talk like this right now, and think that 2 months from now we may not be able to be talking or anything at all. It could be a complete global annihilation. All right.
Well, Leo, what catches my attention is when you have three comets like this, or two comets and another main comet, it reminds me of the Hopi prophecies where in 1996 and 1995 and 96, there was two comets that we've seen in the Earth. I mean, besides Aelbop, that came earlier in the in the
Aelbop, US. I remember, yeah.
Right, but
Halley's was around that time too.
There was two comets with long tails, and for the longest time, I thought they were the twins that they talked about. I hope he talked about the twins, the twin comets. And now we have a situation where we do have twin comets, Honda and Levy. And
no,
Halley's
on there too, George.
Purifier, and that's what they're doing.
Halley's comet came that time too. Halley's and then Halebop.
Well, yes, but Halley's was a little bit earlier, I think, in the 1980s,
earlier
87.
90s.
I don't know, but I remember fulfilling the prophecies of what they wrote about and what will happen.
Yeah.
And, of course, these are part of the end times, but these are happening right now. And, you know, this is part of the scary part of this video. It talks about things that we've been talking about, Leo. But another thing was when the Earth stops, the magnetics of the Earth is going to be altered. And not only the Earth, but also ourselves, too. And that was one problem that we found ourselves in the last big cataclysm the Earth felt, and that was 1972, where the Earth did stop. But what happened is that our brains, our Akashic records, what we knew was erased because it was electrical. So, you know.
Do you think that will happen again right now? I think
there could possibly be some kind of a magnetic pulse that is going to shatter, you know, maybe all our technology. But I think because of our internal Merkabas, it's going to keep us okay. And I think that's the only way how we were able to survive that last cataclysm is because our Merkabas have a charging battery itself, which is self-contained. It's a living thing. So, you know, it's something that possibly could have saved us, just like we went into hibernation for 20,000 years, but it's sort regain again.
Well, what would happen if all of a sudden everything wiped out, all of our computers got meltdown, and nobody could, all you'd have is this thing you're looking at and saying, how the hell do I fix this thing? You don't know, all right? And you don't know what you're fixing because you don't know what's been destroyed. You might never be able to get on the internet or communicate with anybody, or even get your own files back. You know, it's like you know, if this electromagnetic field that we're talking about, that this cloud that's already coming, it's already been seen and already been identified, and is coming our way. It's going to upset everything. It's going to destroy everything, all right, that runs on electromagnetics, and including ourselves, personal individuals. So it's like, how do we possibly at all protect ourselves from something like that? We can't.
Being aware of ourselves, Leo. Being aware of ourselves.
But you know, George, I'm going to tell you something, all right? I'm very well aware that if I put my finger on something hot, it's going to burn, all right? It's going to hurt, all right? But if this stuff comes along, all right, and it starts to burn my ass or burn my back or burn my brains out, okay, and burns everybody's brains out, all right, there's not a hell of a lot we can do about it. I mean, it's just going to burn us. There's no way that we can stop it.
No, I don't think so. I think you put yourself into a position where you can take care of yourself.
Yeah, but can we protect ourselves by going into a lead shielded room or something where electromagnetics don't
Birdie cage? I don't think. Well, that would only shield some fields, but not all fields.
Not all fields, right?
No.
So it's inescapable, and I think that's where we're at, and that's why I look at things today, now, more than ever, and I have for the last year or so, as you know, just accepting what there is and just moving along in some fashion, trying to explain it, trying to understand it myself and sharing it with people over the internet here and on radio, but at the same time trying to understand it myself. And every step that we prod along on this journey, maybe there are people that are following us and trying to discern what we're doing and what we're saying, and saying, yeah, these guys got it, or man, these guys don't have it at all. What are they talking about, you know? But nevertheless, they know we're on a journey, George, and they know we're moving along, and we're presenting it to them, and we're trying to show it to everybody and saying, hey, look, this is the way it is. You know, the way we see it and the way others see it is this is what we're in for, and let's all keep our fingers crossed and pray together and hope that we survive the next few months, you know. And just
well, Leo, I believe that, you know, we may be in a situation like we were 10,000 years ago, where we would have to defend for ourselves and just survive.
Right.
But, you know, I really feel that because of the advancement that we made in the last 150 years or 200 years, this is going to shield us or protect us for time to come. And that is incorporating a silicone life, crystal life, into our reality, where right now we've integrated crystals, or silicone, into our body, not only communicating, but also physical aspects that incorporate living tissues. But it's a different life form. And I think because of that, we would be able to hold the energies or the understanding or the understanding of frequencies in this three-dimensional reality. Plus, we would be able to rise above these different frequencies and understand that the difference between some of the advanced civilizations is that they can live in multi-dimensions at the same time and not be affected by it. Affected by it just raising the resonance of your, let's say, your body, your physical body. You can raise yourself above the influence of, say, certain poisons and so forth, just like the pollutions. They live in a sulfur type of atmosphere when pressure about 8,000 or 800 times out of the earth, but their physical bodies is raised where they're not affected by this physical aptitudes.
But
so,
you're talking about
living in multi dimensions at the same time. So I think that's what we're going to, and I think that's what the earth is going to. I think the earth is transforming itself too. Just like Mars at one time, you know, was a planet something like ours, but something blew its atmosphere away. But understand that it is a living thing, just like the Earth is a living thing. And I don't know about the Moon, but the Earth is a living creature, and it has characteristics like us humans, including the emotional bodies.
George, if we blow up and we move along, all right, well, then we cross over into a fourth or fifth dimensional existence. We then create our own reality again, but we create it. And according to this, what this video was saying, and according to the Mayans and the Alfi, the Hopi and everybody else, is that this time period is what's is where we're going to start visualizing, not visualizing, but actualizing everything that we thought, all of our thoughts, all of our emotions, all of our everything will start to become actualized.
Now. That's what's happening now.
Yeah, in this fourth dimensional reality, and this fourth dimension is where we're going to freak out because everything we want, need, and think about is going to be manifest the horrors as well as the pleasures.
Happening right now, Leo. Not something that's going to happen. It's happening right now. That's causing the problem.
That's exactly right. No, we're already there.
Yeah, we're already there. And, you know, understanding that this is a waking dream. I've said that, you know, this is basically how I feel, that, you know, this illusion, this dream, is a waking thing, that I'm living it. So, you know...
Well, let's do this, George. So I think what's happening is, everybody is, let's just think about this. Everybody is so disillusioned and so indebted, and so, that every country and every individual has so much debt that they're carrying, that it's just like, let me go, let it go, you know, let the fuck with it, you know, screw the banks, screw the government, screw everybody, let it go, let me be free of this lousy debt, all right? And that's happening, George, happening by the millions and the millions and the millions and billions of people. I just saying, fuck it, we can't afford it anymore, I lose my job, everything is gone, you know, fuck you. Fuck the world. It's
putting
all
things
over.
A priority to life. And
take,
that, if nothing else, that's what's happening right now. We're really seeing what
anymore.
We
can't afford
what we
it.
Need, don't need.
It, the whole damn illusion is over with for me. All right, so it's like, you know, if we're not, now I'm saying this hypothetically, metaphorically, but it's like everybody is losing it. So it's like, bring it, let it go. All right, what's the worst that can possibly happen? What? How much worse can it get than you losing everything? Okay, and if you've ever lost anything or everything, like I have, years ago, I lost everything I own. All right, and you realize, holy shit, you know, everything you've worked for your whole life has suddenly gone to hell. All right, and then you have to start all over again, and you just realized, holy shit, every dime that I've made, some cocksucker, some shit that somebody took, somebody grabbed, somebody got, you know what I mean? And it's like I didn't owe it to them, they just grabbed it, they stole it, they manipulated it, and you start to go, well, Jesus, you know? And I started to think of what could I possibly own that nobody can steal, all right? And you know what? You know what it was?
What's that?
Me.
Yeah.
They couldn't steal me,
yeah.
All right? All right, so it's like, and I realized, you can't steal me. You can only steal what I have, all right? And what I give you, and what, you know, what I'm willing to give you, but you cannot steal me, all right? And ever since I recognized that fact, I've been a totally different person in the sense that I have refused under any circumstances for some son of a bitch, you know, to even consider stealing me, you know? And that, you know, here's my dollars, here's my cents, here's my... You know, I don't give a shit about it. You have to take my car, take everything I own. I don't care because you know what? It's all shit anyway. All right, you can always get that back, but what you can't get back is when you give away yourself. When somebody grabs you and enslaves you, you know, and that's worth fighting for, George. And that's what I fight for every day of my life.
Yeah, but I would say before pointing fingers at somebody else. You got three fingers pointing back at yourself, and I'm saying, you create your own reality. You're
right.
The one that walked
well,
up to the plate. You're
you
the one that's directing the feet where to walk to. So understand that, you know,
somebody else creates it for you, all right? And that's what I'm saying. When you, as long as you create it yourself, all right, then you can take the credit or the blame for that reality. But if you don't take the credit, if you just allow it to be, oh, yeah, I'm a Democrat today, or I'm a Republican, or I'm a Catholic, or I'm a Protestant, or I'm a Buddhist, or I'm a Muslim, all right? Like, who the hell are you? You know, what is that? All right? Who are you? All right? I don't care what you are, but what tags or labels you put on yourself, but who are you? Do you think for yourself? Do you talk for yourself? Do you act for yourself? Or are you just some schmuck, okay, who slimes along in life, okay, becoming, oh, I'm a Democrat today and a Republican tomorrow. I'm an evangelist tomorrow, and I believe in this, and I love Chicken McNuggets, and I love McDonald's, and I, you know what I'm saying? You just, you know, you're like a monkey running from one ring from one branch of a tree to the other. Or are you something that, or are you stable? Are you self? Are you? Can you analyze what you're doing? Analyze what
you know what you
others.
Are.
What?
You know what you are.
What I am? Yeah, I know exactly what I am.
Are you?
Huh?
What are you?
What am I? I'm a son of a bitch. That's what I am. I refuse to allow myself to be anything else.
There you go.
You know, and that. I mean, you know, I'm just who I am, George, and I refuse to become anything other than what I am. You know.
You know, Leo. For years, I've asked myself. I try to get in contact with who I am, myself.
Yeah.
Who am I? And like I asked myself, you know, questions when in life, you know, where are you? Why did you do this? Who did this?
Well, you're like me, George. You're a son of a bitch, just like I am. We
yeah,
refuse
you know what?
To let anybody else tell us who we are.
I was
know?
Able to find that guy who put me there.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, and you know who it was?
Who, oh, you?
It was my shadow.
Oh, your shadow did it.
Well, it was my higher self.
Yes.
Without the whistles and the bells, I mean, it's like I can look into a mirror and see myself, but you see,
right.
That's not my higher self. That's just a face that I put on. It's an illusion.
That's right, George. That's the
and
face.
And the real me has no color. It has no face, but it has a shape, and that's my shadow. And everything that shadows off my body, or my light, the light that I receive from the world, is reflecting my shadow, who I am, and that's all I am. But it's easier for me to identify because I don't wear any certain clothes or badges or merit of power or whatever, but that's who we are.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I wrote, in fact, on Facebook, I got a. If you look under my notes section, I got a whole poem called The Shadow. All right, and that's exactly you're exactly right. That's what the shadow is. It's part of you. It's what you are. It's the other part of you. It's that all knowing, all seeing, eternal. Part of you, the spiritual part of you.
Oh, Leo, in these times, though, I mean, just like this movie, the awakening, or the quickening, I mean, you know, it caught my attention. Oh, my God, we've been talking about this stuff for years, and please, listeners, if you have the chance, go and watch it. It's well worth your time. And
yeah,
it was put together very good. It opened my eyes, and, you know, I'm learning and experiencing things every day, and one thing, Leo, that I'm happy for is that we have been able to use Kalman's understanding of the Mayan calendar and work with that over these years, and it seems like this video, you know, focused in on that, and, you know, we were actually experiencing what we were supposed to experience and the times and the cycles, and right now what we're going into is the financial worries of this world. And as you see, the last couple of weeks and so forth, it's coming out. And, you know, it's going to end itself in a matter of a week. So watch out because
I agree with you.
Bank holiday, go ahead.
I'm looking at it, George, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it doesn't, that we
cross
can
for what? For it not to happen or to happen?
No, for you know that I don't lose my mind as well as others around me, and that we can ride through this storm.
You don't have to lose your mind. All you got to do is focus it, or you know, put it in a thought form, and put it in a jar, and put it on top of the shelf, so that way you can always go back to it if you ever lose your mind.
Well, yeah, that's true. I understand, but I look at these poor people out there in the Midwest and all around. People who've lost their homes, lost their livelihoods, and you know, just sitting there going, you know, just nodding and going, oh my God, what am I going to do next? What's going to happen? How could this have happened? And one day you're fine, and the next day you see your house being torn up from a tornado.
We can say is that day after has character.
Your days
will have character. Something
your
new.
It's just frightening. The concept is frightening, George. And that's one thing that I hope and I pray that if it happens to me, that I can understand it, that I can accept the will of whatever the divine will may be.
I think it will, Leo, because you got a good heart among sometimes your mouth. But you know what? You're a good person, and you'll always find safety and people who are good. So I wouldn't worry about that. I would worry about maybe the conditions everybody finds themselves in together, but I wouldn't worry about that because I really believe that if nothing else, we will overcome this, and it's a matter of time. And right now, the way things are speeding up, maybe we don't have to spend years and years to learn things or do things when all we have to do is believe that we can make it happen instantaneous, and we can. And that's part of this changing, this co-creation, that we are creating our reality and the reality of the world. But it's a matter of how we connect with it. Like the fact that...
I understand what you're saying totally, and that's pretty much what I believe that we can do, and we can change it. We can change it all.
I don't want to change it. I just want to blow with it. That's all.
Yeah, but I'm at a layback point right now that I'm just kind of an observer. I was watching. I played it the other night. In fact, I think it was Tuesday night. There was a 4-minute video by George Carlin. And in it, he said that he gave up on the human. He gave up on the species. All right, he's no longer part of the species.
I remember that. Yeah,
it was actually kind of funny because he says, he gave up. He actually gave up on it. He was sick and tired of it. He's sick and tired of the species, of being part of the species. So he became an observer. He says, I'm the guy. In society that has a notebook and writes notes. He says, I'm not part of it anymore. He says somewhere deep inside I'm an idealist, and when good wins, he says I get excited. But he says, that hasn't happened in a long, long time. And he says I've finally given up on the species. And he says I'm now just kind of an observer. And I sense that Carlin was never one to mince words either, and I honestly believe that I'm there as well, as are you, George. As are people that are waiting to see what's happening. We're just sitting back now, and waiting, and taking notes, and deciding what's going to happen and how we're going to react to it. So at that point, that's pretty much the way I feel, and I think you're doing the same thing, George.
Well, yeah, I got to say, George Cullen, I caught a bit of that show the other night, but
yeah.
I heard George Cullen before, and he had a lot of he had a great.
He was right on a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was right there on a lot of things. So he was a real
part
observer.
Of the generation, if that's what you're going to call it, what we came from.
Yeah, no, he was all our age and more. Actually, he was older. He was 70 when he died. So he, died, 2 years ago, I think. But he definitely was prophetic in many ways. And I thought that, I feel like that, quite frankly. I feel more of a spectator than a participant more these days. Maybe because I've written the books and I've done so many programs, and I've watched so many things happen and transpire that I'm seeing them over and over and over again, and it's just like, oh my God, you know. Like when I look at this political season, I went, oh yeah, you know, not again, you know. And when I see these calamities and these problems, I've seen them over and over and over and over again as I've lived, and it's just another news cycle, you know.
Well, but, you know, I've talked in the last couple of years about you know, living a waking dream, and it's like I see it being dreamed out, being working out, and.
I feel like that, George. I feel like that's very true. I feel it
is. I'm watching it, yeah, and I'm part of it too, but it's like I'm watching it, and as I'm watching it, I'm also changing it, you know, changing because of my involvement with it. It's not that I purposely do that. It's because the synchronicity that's coming into play now. I don't know why things are happening, but there is something happening here which is wonderful. And it's like 2010, you know, something wonderful is happening, but it is happening. And, you know, it's a rate of consciousness, and it's not time. I've talked about it's the options that are available to us. I mean, these options are astronomical.
They are, George. They really are. The options are unbelievable, and we pursue every one of them that we come across. But...
Well, you know, Leo, in understanding, they talk about the fifth night and some of the ramifications of what to experience. And, you know, it brings back what we talked about, you know, with the depression and so forth when we went through that, Leo.
Right.
But, I'm going through about a year and a half ago, I read Greg Braden's book, Fractal Time. And that basically is the same thing, or shows the different cycles in our lives. Cycles of the cycles of consciousness, and you know, all of this stuff is just one large cycle coming back and repeating itself. But it's coming down. It's cycling back down to zero again, and that's the point that really catches my attention. You know, it's following, you know, a normal logical pattern, but where it's ending up is somewhere different. A different understanding. I can't make sense out of it, and I don't want to. I just want to experience it and see where it takes me.
That's definitely where the show went, George. And we kind of summed up our thoughts on that. But I don't know. I think we're on the right track. I think we have to stand back. I think everybody has to stand back. You know. Not get upset by everything going on, you know. I can tell you quite frankly, the guy today, myself today, is not the same guy I was 5 years ago, and or even a year ago. I'm, you know, even though I may sound like it, and I may be more, maybe is hyped up about things, but I'm not really. I'm not, and I'm more of an observer that I am of a participant now, and I intend to be that way for a while until I just feel that that's where I'm at. That's where I'm supposed to be, you know, above it, above the fray, looking at it and saying, okay, this is what's happening. You know what I mean? And that's the only way I can identify what's happening. Otherwise, it makes no sense at all. You know what I mean?
My phone is.
Yeah, okay. What? Oops, lost you, George. All right. I don't know, I guess either I lost it or George lost it. We lost the connection. But I want to thank George Dixon. We're past the time anyway, but I want to thank George for being with us tonight. And I want to thank you for listening to it. And please... review last night's program, Thursday night, August 11th. Our Thursday night show, and I replayed this. I played this entire audio version, of course, of the video called "The Quickening." And I think you'll be amazed, and you'll understand somewhat of what we were talking about tonight. And please join us tomorrow. Not tomorrow, Tuesday night again, when Lila will be with us, and we'll have Peter Wood and sports and all kinds of good stuff. And next week, as we continue our journey onward as observers in this bizarre, surreal world that we live in. And hopefully as we get closer to the October 28th, 2011, more and more things will be revealed to us, so we may reveal them to you. And from them, thank you for everything, and thank you for joining us, and have a pleasant evening.